As we come this morning to the second study and message in the series based on Isaiah 53, which we have entitled God's Suffering Servant, I would like us this morning, with the Lord's help, to consider the words of verse 1. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. The prophet asked two questions. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? As we pointed out last week, Isaiah 53, this chapter that deals with the sufferings of Christ, really ought to begin verse 13 of chapter 52. As we said, the chapter division is something that man has done. But the Word itself, of course, is the inspired Word of the living God. And there in those final verses of chapter 52, God calls upon all to focus their attention upon His Son by saying in verse 13, Behold my servant. This is God the Father speaking. And God the Father wants all to behold and to focus their attention and their gaze upon His servant, His chosen servant, His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the next 15 verses, the prophet lifts up Christ for one and all to see. And there is no better way for sinners to see Christ than to see Him lifted up upon that cross of wood there at Calvary. And it is to that place of suffering and shame and death that the prophet leads us in these verses. He brings us directly there to that place of suffering in verse 14 of chapter 52. For there we read, as many were astonied at thee, or astonished, or dumbfounded, as many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And you recall what we said about this verse last week, giving you the meaning of the words. And what Isaiah saw by faith was indeed a horrific sight, because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ so marred, indeed so disfigured, because of what man had done to him, that those who looked upon him would hardly recognize the form of a man. And that's why it is said in verse 14, as many were astonished or astonished at thee. Here is a sight which others should be told about. Here is an event that everyone should know about. since God has said, "Behold, my servant," then everyone in this world ought to be told about the servant of God. Everyone needs to be told about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone needs to be told about that one whose visage was so marred, more than any man, and whose form more than the sons of men. And that then brings us to verse 15. Because in verse 15 we read, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths of him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider." Now many commentators have interpreted these words in a variety of ways. That is, the words, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." They have all put forth a variety of answers as to what these words mean. But I feel that because the rest of the verse deals with what men have been told and what they have heard, that this phrase or these words, "So shall he sprinkle many nations," deals with preaching the word, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened to him at Calvary. The word that would inform people of many nations about Christ and his sufferings on the cross. Some of the Bible commentators take this line that the sprinkling of many nations deals with the preaching of the word, getting the word out, and telling people, the people of the nations, about what Christ did at Calvary. And this is consistent, this interpretation is consistent with other references to sprinkling in Scripture. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. When we think of sprinkling, we think of the sprinkling of the raindrops upon the earth. And in Deuteronomy 32, we read in verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." And so the reference here is to the word of God and people giving ear to the word of God. Now verse 2. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." And so we can see the connection there. The connection of the dropping rain, the showers of rain upon the grass, and the Lord likens it to the preaching of the word. He says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Then turn to Isaiah 55 and we see the connection again. Isaiah 55. And there we read in verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And once again you can see the connection. The Lord said that He would sprinkle the nations with His word. And that word will go out and people will be told about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The nations need to be told the story of Christ and His cross work. And so God said that He would sprinkle the nations with His doctrine and with His word. What was it that the Lord Jesus said to His disciples? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. They were to take the word about Christ, the word about His cross work. They were to take that word and they were to preach it to all nations. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The next part of the verse then deals with the response to this word, the spread of the word about Christ. So shall He sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at Him for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. You see the connection? The 15th verse deals with what has been told and what has been heard. And here the reference is to the response to the preaching of Jesus Christ. And here Isaiah says that whenever the nations are told about Jesus Christ and they're told about His sufferings, Isaiah says, kings shall shut their mouths at Him. They also will be astonished. They'll be dumbstruck as they're told about Jesus Christ and what He bore and what He endured at Calvary. They'll be astonished. Kings will shut their mouths at Him for that which had not been told them. They'd never heard this before. For that which had not been told them, my, when the word is preached and Christ is lifted up, then they shall see. The word had come to them about Christ for the first time. And when they heard about His suffering, they were astonished. That one would come to die and suffer such agony and shame for sinners, that will astonish people. And when Christ is lifted up through the preaching of the word, and they gaze upon that visage that is more than any man, they'll be filled with wonderment to think that one would do such a thing for lost, guilty souls. Kings shall shut their mouths at Him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. They'll see Christ through the preaching of the word. and that which they had not heard. They hadn't heard this story before. And when they hear it, they will consider it. So you see the reference there. Here is God, and He says, "Behold my servant." Speaks about His servant and His exaltation, being exalted, extolled, and being very high. And then in verse 14, He speaks about His humiliation. His visage been marred more than any man's. And then verse 15, He speaks about the publication. Men need to be told this story. And that brings us to the verse 1. People have been told the story of the cross. And here is the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah is saying, "I have told this story. I have told men and women about the one whose visage was marked more than any man's." Then Isaiah says, "Who hath believed our report? Who has given heed to this story? Who has paid attention to this message? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" When we are told of a terrible murder that has taken place, maybe we're given some of the details. Why, we're dumbfounded when we hear it. And we give attention to it. We maybe talk about it for a while and say, "Wasn't that a terrible thing? Did you hear about that murder? Did you hear what that man did to that person?" And yet, in this world today, when the story of Jesus Christ is told, and what man did to Christ, how many are interested? That's why Isaiah said, "Who? Tell me who? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And when we look at these words of Isaiah in verse 1, we see here, first of all, Isaiah and his preaching of Christ. Isaiah preached Christ. That's the business of every minister of the gospel. Every prophet of the Lord, he's to be a preacher of Jesus Christ. And this message about Jesus Christ, the servant of God, had been told by Isaiah and others. Mark what he says, "Who hath believed our report?" Others had preached Christ also. And Isaiah and others had preached Christ. But in the eyes of Isaiah, few had believed. And he's prompted to ask the question, "Who hath believed our report?" Let's look at the preaching of Christ by Isaiah. We can learn a lot from Isaiah's preaching of Christ. First of all, with regard to his preaching, we have the prophet's conduct. The prophet Isaiah, having seen by faith the scenes of a suffering Savior, had gone out and given his report. Remember we said last week that whenever you read Isaiah 53 and read Isaiah's words, it's almost as if Isaiah was there And Isaiah 53 is an eyewitness account of what took place at Calvary. And when someone is an eyewitness to an accident, they're to file out a report. Or if they're an eyewitness to a murder, they file out a report. Well, here is Isaiah, and he has filed his report. And he has told others about what happened at Calvary. He has reported the events as he saw them, and of course written 700 years before Calvary, he saw them by faith, as God revealed them to him. And so Isaiah reported what he saw. He gave his report, reporting on the events that took place at Calvary. And in so doing, he was preaching Christ. This, of course, is how God has ordained that sinners should learn about Jesus Christ. Preaching. His cross work is to be reported by the servants of God. This was the business of Isaiah. This is what he was called to. He was called to preach Christ. That's why Isaiah's prophecy is called Isaiah's gospel. It's all Christ. We have here the gospel according to Isaiah. This was Isaiah's business. And this is the business of the thousands that have been called by God to preach Jesus Christ and His love for sinners. And they have been summoned, they have been commanded, they have been ordered to report the events of Calvary. They're to preach the cross. Isn't that what Paul said? We preach Christ crucified. And dear child of God, this is the God ordained way. Men are to be told about Jesus Christ. Men are to be reached with the gospel through the preaching of God's word, the preaching of the gospel. Like you to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there Paul deals with this very subject. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We live in a world that knows not God. It pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Mark the words. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them. A belief. And verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. There's Paul and he's reporting on the cross, "We preach Christ crucified." And dearly beloved, when it comes to preaching the gospel, we must preach Christ crucified. We gave you that quote before. What someone said about the preaching of C.H. Spurgeon. They said every time they went to hear Spurgeon, he preached the same message. He said that he would choose a text of Scripture, and then he would make a beeline for the cross. You read Spurgeon's sermons, and they always get you to the cross. Read the epistles of Paul, he always gets you to the cross. And reading Isaiah 53, Isaiah gets us to the cross. Paul makes it clear that it is by preaching and the preaching of Christ crucified that men are saved. But wait a minute. Why did Paul say it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness. Why did he speak about the foolishness of preaching? Because Paul was a preacher. Paul had many experiences in his preaching. And he found in the course of his ministry that he met many people who thought preaching was foolishness. Thought preaching was foolish. Waste of time. Yet it pleased God by this means to save those that believe by preaching. And whatever man thinks about preaching, it is God's own ordained way of reaching the lost and seeing sinners. It is not how it is today. Nothing has changed from Paul's day to our day. Men and women still think preaching is foolishness. Look at the reaction or the response to those that pass by the dear, faithful servant of God who stands on a street corner preaching the gospel. They smirk at him, hurl comments and insults at him. They say, "Look at that fool there. Preaching in the eyes of the ungodly is foolishness." He mentioned Spurgeon there. Spurgeon preached to over 5,000 people at every service in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. Sometimes he would tell his own congregation to stay at home and allow others to come who couldn't get in on other days, on other Sabbath days, and he filled the house again. C.H. Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. C.H. Spurgeon was a preacher. And yet, in the newspapers in and around London, there are always articles about Spurgeon, poking fun at him, mocking him. It was a regular thing to see a